Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We are continuing our shiurim in the Sefer Shmuel, and I'll be honest with you, friends. I hope you're having as much fun as I am. So we've already had two shiurim, and now we're about at pasuk yud, and we're learning about Chana. Chana got an extra portion from her husband, and because she was so sad, she didn't have any children. And Penina would torment her, her co-wife, and she didn't want to eat Chana because of the torment. And we learned that Penina was L'shem Shemayim Miskaven. She really had Kavana L'shem Shemayim, that Chana should daven harder. But at the end of the day, she paid the price, because we learned, I think this is one of the most important lessons, that Ben Adam L'chaver was Eish, that it's like putting your finger in fire. Even if your intentions are good, the person is going to get burned. So now in Pasuk Yud, it says that v'himaras nefesh v'atespala al Hashem u'bacho sivke, that she was feeling bitter and she prayed to Hashem weeping continuously. So this shir is going to be le'ili nishmas Esther bas Reb Shmuel, Chana bas Reb Yitzchak Yona, Lipman Asher ben Brindel, and Aaron ben Yaakov Shachna, and Naftali Hertz ben Alter Avram, and the Refuas Toibi Hudis bas Tamagasya, and Chaim Yitzchak Yehoshua ben Yehudis. And of course, the Refuas Hayelet HaChamud, Yehuda ben Sion ben Naomi. So, as we read in Pasuk Yud, it says that she was feeling very bitter, v'himaras nefesh, v'atispalel al Hashem. So, it says in the Be'er Moshe, that from Rav Yehoshua, Rav Moshe Epstein, it doesn't say v'atispalel l'Hashem, she prayed to God, she prayed on God. What does that mean? So he says very beautifully that when you daven, you have to daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when we are feeling pain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is feeling pain. So she wasn't davening for her own sar. It was L'kavod Hashem Yizbarach. That if she was feeling pain, she knew that Hashem had pain. So she directed her davening towards Hashem. But despite Hashem, she davened about Hashem. Hashem kiviyachol, take yourself out of your own suffering and give me children. And that's what it says in the Sefer Tshuas Chayin in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. That tefillas tzorach gavoa, that tefillas for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels our pain. So when we don't have what we need, God feels it. So therefore when we're davening for God. And it says in the Sefer Avodas Yisrael, in the name of the Medrash Tzur Magid, that when a tzaddik davens for a yid, and there's a kitrug on this yid, and there's malachim and shemayim saying not to fulfill this yid's tefillah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer this person's tefillah if the tzaddik davens l'shem kavod shemayim. That's what the tefillah has to be. The tefillah has to be for the honor of God, for the glory of God. You say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for your glory, please answer this person's tefillah. So that's v'atispalel al Hashem. And we see from this, says the Asher Aver, that a person should never have yesh. How old was Chana when she gave birth? She was 130 years old, Chazal tell us, in Medrash Shmuel. So you have a 130-year-old woman giving birth. That means you should never give up hope. Chazal says some tefillahs are answered after 90 years, like Sarah. Some after 100 years, like Avram Avinu. Some after 130 years, like Chana. So a person should never give up hope. Kaveh al Hashem. You have to hope to God. Chazak v'yametz libecha v'kaveh al Hashem. You have to strengthen your heart again and hope again to Hashem. In other words, it has to be constant, kaveh al Hashem, and never to give up hope. We've been davening for the Mashiach for 2,000 years, for the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. So we just have to keep davening. And it's coming, it's just a matter of people get impatient. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not, 2,000 years isn't a very long time at all. So from his perspective, it's coming, it's on the way. But we just have to constantly daven. Somebody has a problem. So not to have yeyush. All of Am Yisrael was born, there's a beautiful sicha of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, which is printed in a Torah journal, called Kol HaTorah, which is put out in England. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says in the sicha that all of Gan's Klal Yisrael is based on miracles. Avram Avinu was barren, Sarah was barren, they had a child, Rivka's barren, she had a child. Rachel, she had children. And so Rivka had twins. So all of Klal Yisrael is based on miracles. And getting out of Egypt was a miracle. So we're a nation of miracles. So that means we should never give up hope. The very beautiful line by Futner, he says, we're the only nation that has two names. We're called the Am Sridei Charev, the nation that escaped from the sword. And we're also called Am Medushnei Oneg, like we say in davening. We're a nation filled with Oneg. That's Klal Yisrael. So never give up hope. The Am Sridei Charev never has to give up hope that we're going to get to the point of being an Am Medushnei Oneg. So that's what the Spalel Al Hashem. A, to daven for the sake of Hashem, l'kavod shamayim, and also never to give up hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to answer your tefillah. Like Chana did, and he answered her after 130 years. She was an old woman. She gave birth. It's interesting, the Pasuk doesn't say that. By sorrow we learn that it was a miracle. How old she was, and the Pasuk says that it was a miracle. But she says it can't be. She said it's too late for me to give birth. And yet she still gave birth. How can that be? I'm so old. So she, Baruch Hashem, she was already past the stage that she could give birth naturally. And she had her period once again, and she was able to conceive. But all Jews should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was unlimited. We daven, he could do it. There's a beautiful Maharsha, Maseches Kiddushin. It says in the Maseches Kiddushin about Lamed Aleph, there was a certain Nes. There was this seven-headed monster in this Beis Medrash, and there was one rabbi who tried to get, maybe it was Abaye, who he tried to get Abaye, or Abaye tried to get somebody else, you'll forgive me for forgetting the names, to go into this Beis Medrash and get rid of this beast. And he davened, and he did, he was successful. So the Maharsha says, what about Ein Somchen Al HaNes? He says, with Tefillah, there's no such thing as Ein Somchen Al HaNes. You can look up the Maharsha to see exactly what he says. Kedushin, Lamed Aleph. Tefillah is not an ace. Tefillah is part of the reality of the world is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomea Tefillah. So we have to have a little bit more faith in ourselves and our tefillahs, knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do it if we just give him the opportunity, kiviyachol, and we daven properly. Anyway, sweetest friends, back to our show. It says in the Pasuk that she was very bitter and she davened to Hashem or on Hashem, and she continuously wept. So we have to know that there's a difference between weeping and there's a difference between marirus and atzvus. Maras nefesh means she was she was very bitter. So the Baal HaTanya teaches us in Perek Lamed Aleph that that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be bitter because bitter means you go ahead and you do it. When you feel bitter about something and it makes you act, that's a very positive feeling. That's merirus. That's the maror we eat on Leil HaSeder. But that's merirus that gets us to do. And then there's something else called atzvus. Atzvus is when you just want to lie in bed. That's not good. That's terrible. So she was marir. She was bitter. Maras nefesh. And that's what a person has to be. And I mean, it says when you daven, you have to daven b'kovod rosh, like the Gemara learns. Of course, she was b'kovod rosh, and she was now about to go and daven, but the kovod rosh was marirus, it was bitterness, not atzvus. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shari Tshuva that tshuva is that on one side you're very bitter, very upset about what happened, and then the other side is the simcha of knowing that your tshuva has been miskabel and you're close again to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should know in life sometimes we should be bitter that we messed up, and that should inspire us to reach higher madrigas, and to be successful the next time around, and to keep fighting and to keep working, and that brings you to simcha. Whereas atzvus is the sitra achra. Atzvus is you have no chiyus. Atzvus is the welt ist vermacht. The world is closed. You don't want to do anything, and that's a destructive emotion. It says, "B'shimcha yegilun kol hayom." All day we rejoice in your name. It says Rabbi Nachum Breslov. It's Rashi Tevis Bechia. "B'shimcha yegilun kol hayom." We will rejoice in your name all day, and that's what it says in the Zohar Kaddish. "Bechia tkiya beliba misitra chada v'chedvisa beliboy misitra achra." That on one side of your heart you have bechia, you have crying, you have tears, and the other side you have simcha. And that means that a person has to be happy and sad at the same time. Happy meaning happy and crying, not sad atzvos that you don't want to do anything. But crying. Because a person has to know that there's what to cry about in the world. That there's a lot of suffering, there's a lot of pain. The tzar of shechina, the tzar of people. So a person has to feel that. A person can't be... And bo bezman, a person has to mamish. A person has to feel simcha. That same time. And when you daven, the Maharchu, Reb Chaim Vital writes, that when you daven, you have to daven b'simcha gedoyla. Because he says, if you're be'atzvus, then you can't get the lights of tefillah. Just when you say vidu, you can be ba'atzvus. The rest of tefillah, you mamish have to be b'simcha. So the stronger feeling when you're davening has to be simcha. B'chlal, when you walk around, you can have b'chia misitra chada and chedvasa misitra achra. The other side, you have the simcha, you have the b'chia, and the b'chia is b'simcha yagilun kol hayom. Person has b'chia about his avonos, and that makes him, when you're crying always about your avonos, you never want to do it again. Some people have memories of times that they messed up in their lives, and they never forget that. And they're always so careful. Imagine you one time you made a bad deal and you lost 100 grand. So you would be so careful the next time somebody offers you a deal. You remember, your mind immediately flashes back to that time you lost 100 grand. And you're extra special careful. So too, if a person feels that way about averus, he'll always be careful. He'll always remember that. He'll always cry about the avera. And that'll spur him on to greater heights. And the other side, there's simcha. Tachas ashel ovatas, Hashem lokecha b'simcha b'tuv leivav. Person, the Jews were punished for not serving Hashem with enough simcha. So that's a b'chol tifke. So there is something to crying. One should cry. One should feel the tears. But again, that's the meriris. That's the bitterness that makes you want to act and execute and achieve and succeed and accomplish. And then the other side is the gevaldik simcha that a person has to have every second of every day. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you life. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you arms. He gave you ears. He gave you eyes. He gave you a nose. He gave you kidneys. Kidneys is a big gift. Big gift, kidneys. You don't want to have that chas v'shalom. Have machines clean your blood for you. Dialysis is not a bracha. It's not a fun thing. And the kidneys do it all by themselves. They come with the machine. They know how to do it. You the digestive system. You have a stomach that's sealed off. I know a yid, he was hit by some sort of explosive when he was a young man. He has a hole in his stomach the size of mamish, a tiny little hole, but that tiny little hole has caused him trouble his whole life. Baruch Hashem, if your stomach is sealed because the food seeps through, that's not a good thing. So we have so many brachas, so we should enjoy our brachas and be besimcha. We're alive. What is it saying in the Gemara in Bracha and Kiddushin? Based on the Pasuk in Iyov, Ma Yison and Adam Chai. How can a person be complaining? He's Chai, he's alive. So now we continue on to Pasuk Yir Aleph. Vatidor neder vatomer Hashem tzvakos. So Chana makes a neder. And she says, Hashem tzvakos, the Lord of hosts, im ra'o tireh ba'ani amasecha. If you take heed of the suffering of your maidservant. Again, I'd like to give a little bit of a plug to the Keter Crown Bible, Chorev, which is has an excellent English translation. So I'm using that for the English. If you take heed of the suffering of your maidservant, you remember me and you don't forget your maidservant. And you give to your maidservant male offspring, unisativ Hashem kol yimechayev, I will give him to Hashem all the days of his life, umor lo yal al rosh, or no razor should pass over his head. So you see the Marira's letter to make this neder, that she's going to have a child who's going to be devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the psukim continue. V'haya ki hir b'sal espal ufnei Hashem ve'eli shomer espia. And as she went on praying before Hashem, Eli observed her mouth. V'chana hi medaberes aliba rak sfaseh hanos v'kolah lo yishamea v'yachshevea Eli l'shikora. Chana was speaking to her heart, only her lips were moving and her voice was inaudible, and Eli thought she was drunk. Hasirius yeneich mayalaich. Eli Setter, for how long will you be drunk? Rid yourself of your wine. Vayomer v'tan Chana v'tomer. Chana answered and she said, Lo Adoni, no my master. Ishak shas ruach anochi. I am a woman of embittered spirit. V'yayin v'shecher lo shasisi. I didn't drink any wine. V'eshboch es nafshi lifnei Hashem. I poured out my soul before Hashem. Al titein es amoscha lifnei bas b'l'yal. Kim rov sichi v'chasi dibarti ad heina. Don't see your maidservant as a low woman, for it is out of much grievance and anger that I have spoken this far. Vayan Eli vayomer, Eli says, Lechi l'shalom, go in peace, ve'elohe Yisrael yitain et she'lasech asher sha'alt me'imo, and the God of Israel will grant the request you have made of him. And that is Pasuk Yud Zayin. And now, v'siyata d'shmaya, the Gemara in Brachos explains these psukim, because from these psukim we learn how to daven. We learn a lot of halachas about davening. We learn halachas about how to relate to other people. And now we have to learn the Gemara in Brachos a little bit, together with the commentary of Rav Kook and his Ein Hayah. I was so excited that we get an opportunity to combine the learning of the Sefer Shmuel with the Ein Hayah, two great loves that I have, one for learning of Nach, and the other for the learning of the Kisvei Hagoyin HaTzadik, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Levracha. It says in the Pasuk, V'chana midaberes al libo. Chana was speaking on her heart. Mikan l'mispalo, says the Gemara in Meseches Brachos, Sarech sheyechavein es libo. A person who davens has to direct his heart. So why do we learn how to daven from Chana? So Chana's a woman. I always like to point this out. Chana's a woman. That's not such a big chiddush that you already knew. But what you might not have known is that, or not have thought of, is that we learn how to daven from a woman because daven is emotion. And we have to learn emotion from a woman. Women are more expressive with their emotions, more open with their emotions. So we have to learn how to do that when we daven. We have to be a little bit more female, bring out the female side in ourselves, the emotional side, and daven with emotion. So V'chanez medaberes aliba, says the Gemara, from here you see that a person has to be mechaven, he has to direct his heart when he davens. Explains Rav Kook in the Ein Hayah, this is on page 132, that when we speak, we use our seichel. The words that come out of our mouth relate to the seichel, to the intellect. Tefillah, besides seichel, there also has to be a hergesh of a lev. One also has to have feeling. One has to have emotion when he davens. However, this emotion must be directed by the seichel. The seichel is supposed to direct the heart and tell the heart how to feel. And therefore it says, himidaberes. She is speaking, meaning with her seichel. Her seichel is telling her, because that's how you speak. You use your seichel when you speak. Her seichel is telling her, al liba, on her heart. It's telling her heart how to feel. And from here you see, says the Gemara, that a person who davens has to have kavan of the heart. So that's what Rav Kook is medayik. It doesn't say, mikan lemispalol shetzarech kavana, that he requires kavana, or she yiskaven. That would be a lashon of just, it's telling us to have kavana, it's more than that. We have to know that there has to be a chibur, there has to be a connection of the seichel and the lev. So, mikan lemispalol tzarech she yichaven, you have to mechaven your heart, meaning your seichel has to direct your heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they have to work together. The intellect and the emotion have to work together. Your intellect has to direct your emotion towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chana medaberes al liba, it's on her heart. Her brain is directing her heart. Continues the Gemara. Rak, based on the Pasuk, Rak svaseha naos. Only her lips were moving. V'kola lo yishamea. And her voice wasn't heard. So svaseha, from rak svaseha naos, we learn that a person has to daven while moving his lips. And kol lo yishamea, the Gemara in Brachas learns, that when a person davens, he shouldn't make his voice heard. So here Rav Kook says something very, very profound. Tachlis ha-tfila hi is gabrus ha-shlemus ha-pnimis. That the purpose of tfila is when I have internal perfection. Bihischaskus ha-nefesh ha-ruchanis. we have to strengthen our spiritual soul. Al yidei hiskarvusa litziur ha'amiti, by coming close to the true picture, ha'efshari la, that is possible for it, v'hakaras yotzra, in recognizing the Creator, v'havanas yachasa l'ribon kol olamin, and understanding the relationship to the Master of all the worlds. So that's what we have to do. We have to, our soul has to understand our relationship to God. V'hine yisod hadas, the foundation of knowledge, hu lehavin, is to understand, she'im shetachlis hashlemus hi hasechel v'hakara amitit, that if the purpose of shleimus is seichel and true understanding, aval i'efshar sheyavol l'tachlis nizgava hazu, the only way we can get to this tachlis of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ki'im k'sheyishtamish im kol kochos v'kishronos l'zeh. You have to use all of your kochos, all of your energies, all of your powers to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, you have to use regesh when regesh is called for, and seichel when seichel is called for. So we have to use everything we can in order to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on one hand, tzarech sheyachtoch b'sfasif. Why do you have to? It's even passing this way in Shulchan Aruch. You have to move your lips when you're davening. Why? Because you have to do something with your body. It's not enough to leave your tefillah in the realm of the abstract in your heart. The tefillah also has to have a concrete physical expression. On the other hand, there's a danger. Maybe it's only going to be external. So we have to show that ultimately, you're right, it might need a concrete expression, but it also needs ultimately to be in your heart. You have to recognize God in your heart. Lo b'dvarim ha-chitzoniim levadim, not only with something chitzoniistic, something external. Those are only means to an end. And therefore your voice, lo yashmiya kolo b'tfilaso. You're not allowed to say it out loud because the tefillah has to remain internal. In other words, I remember I once heard a story when I was in Yeshiva HaKotel many years ago, that there was once a chayal who captured a certain plot of land from the Arabs in one of the wars. And he said, the Seder. You know, the Arabs retreated, and now he has the plot of land. They captured what they had to capture. But now what? He felt like he had to do some Maisa Kinyan. I don't know, take his tank and go around, make a circle, something, to show that it's his. Because we need a concrete expression, something physical. People need a graduation ceremony. Why can't you just tell the person you're graduated? No, but you need something concrete to express it on a very real physical level. You go up, you wear a funny cap and gown, they give you a piece of paper. People need that. People need ceremonies. On the other hand, and therefore we need to feel it, we need to express it with our lips, because there needs to be a physical, concrete expression of the fact that we're davening. It can't only remain in our hearts in the realm of the abstract. It has to be expressed physically with our bodies, our tefillah. However, if we would say it out loud, it would become too externalized. So what do? We say it, but quietly. And that shows that ultimately the ikkar is that it's in our heart. Yes, we need the external. So we have this tension. We have this tension between needing to express it physically and the primary goal being that it should remain in your heart. So how do we find this balance? So beautifully, Chazal found this balance by saying, Beseder, daven with your lips, move your lips, say the words, but say them quietly. And this way the stress is on the pnimius. You're not out to impress anybody. It remains in your heart. Nobody can hear you when you daven. This is machlokas achronim. People within your Dalet Amos, outside of your Dalet Amos. Some people say dafko within your Dalet Amos, they're allowed to hear you. And outside, no. Other poskim say, no, nobody should be able to hear you. But the point is that it shouldn't be too loud. That the stress should be on the panemius. And that all you know, you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nobody else hears you. And therefore you have the external expression of moving your lips, but no one else can hear you. Kola lo yishamea. But let's say it would only be in your heart, says Rav Kook. Ah, then you think that what I do on the outside doesn't matter. All that matters is what I'm feeling. That's also not true. We need external expressions in this world. So Chazal found the balance. They said, say the words, but say them quietly. So you know that you need something external, but the ikar is the panemius. And that's mikan, that on one hand you have to move your lips. On the other hand, you can't be heard. Continues the pasuk, Vayachsheveh Eli Lishikora. Eli thought she was drunk. From here we see, says the Gemara, Shlishikor Sha'asar Lispalo. A drunk person is not allowed to daven. Rav Kook has a very big problem with this. Why isn't a drunk person allowed to daven? Fakert. If tefillah is regesh, then nobody gets more emotional. Nobody's as uninhibited emotionally as a drunk person. So we dafka should get drunk before we daven. And then daven. And oh, will we daven? The answer is, as we said earlier, that tefillah is regesh together with seichel. It's not just pure regesh. What's the seichel? Seichel is that after you daven, also you have to take the lesson you learned from the tefillah and apply them to your life. Tefillah is about munah and bitachon, and tefillah is about midos tovos and about caring about other people. There's so many important lessons you learn from tefillah. So a drunk person has this emotional high, but then it passes. It's transitory. It's temporary. We want the tefillah to make an impermanent impression upon ourselves. So how do we achieve that? We achieve that by not being drunk when we're davening. So we still have our seichel. Like the Maharal says when he talks about getting drunk on Purim, he says when you get drunk, you lose your seichel. It's histalkus ha-seichel. We don't want complete histalkus ha-seichel. We want there to be seichel. So we can apply the tefillah to our life as we're davening and afterwards as well. And you have to know. In order to be an ethical person, you have to know how to separate between what's holy and what's not, what's pure and what's impure. And a drunk person, says the Gemara in Yuma, everything looks okay to him. He does whatever he wants. He says whatever he wants. If we're a drunk person, he's not allowed to daven. So again, the tefillah has to be a deeply emotional experience. Not this cold, antiseptic tefillah I see sometimes when I go to shuls. There has to be fire. There has to be emotion. You're davening. It says in the Gemara that you're not allowed to eat before you daven. Because it says, Lo sochu al adam, don't eat on the blood, don't eat before you daven for your blood. So Moriv Rabbi Shlita, the Talmud Rebbe pointed out, you're davening for your blood. That's not a big chiddush, but to think about it, you're davening for your life. So when a person is davening for his life, he pleads. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me life. So Mikan She'asur L'Shikra, of course you have to daven with all your heart and all your soul, but you also have to apply that afterwards to your life. And you have to use your seichel. When you're davening, you have to use your seichel as well. To understand what you're saying, to think about it. So you can't go too far, you can't get drunk. Plus it continues, and Vayomer Eileha, and Eli said to her, Admasai Tishtakarin, how long, what are you getting, what are you getting drunk for? The Gemara says, Mikan, Laroa Dabar Sheino Hagun Bechavero Shechayv Lochicha. From here, when you see a davar she'eino hagun, when you see something inappropriate in your friend, you have to be mochiach the person. So, Tosva says that mikan, from here you see that if you see something that's inappropriate in a person, you have to give him tochacha. Aye, what about the pasuk of ochiach tochicha samisecha? So he says the answer is that here there was no Isser Doraisa. If there's an Isser Doraisa involved, you need a Hocheach Tochiach. Here there was no Isser Doraisa, so therefore there's no Hocheach Tochiach. You have to learn from the Pasuk of Vayomer Eli. Eli told her, Admasai Tishtakarn, wow, how long are you going to get drunk for? What are you getting drunk for? So Tosa says that there wasn't, if there's an Isser Doraisa, we don't have to learn, because it says in the Gemara, from here, if you see something inappropriate in your friend, you have to rebuke your friend. What do you mean from here? You have Hocheach Tochiach Samisecha. So the answer is that ochech tochecha samisecha is for when a person's over an isur daraisa. Here we learn even if it's not an isur daraisa, you still have to give your friend tochecha. Now, what did he see that was eino hagun? What did he see that was eino hagun? So the answer is l'chora. What he saw was that she was davening when she was drunk. That's what I saw in one of the Achronim. He says the Davar Sheino Hagam, she was davening when she was drunk, and he was giving her Tochacha. And Tosfos, and on that Tosfos says, there's no Isser Doraisa here. From there you learn that you get Hochech Tochiach. You don't need this Pasuk to tell you to give somebody Tochacha. You need this Pasuk even if it's not an Isser Doraisa. So what was she doing here that was Eino Hagun? She was davening drunk. Now there's a machlokas Rishonim. What is a bracha levatala? When a person makes an inappropriate bracha, a bracha they shouldn't be making, what is the Isser? Most Rishonim hold, most poskim hold, somebody wrote a whole book about this topic, Yaakov Chaim Sofer, most poskim hold, Shlita, that it's only an Isser derabbanan. But the Rambam, the Magen Avraham learns pshat in the Rambam, that saying a bracha shein at tzricha is an Isser daraisa. If that's the case, then she was over Nisr Doraisa. She was davening when she was drunk. And therefore it means she was saying inappropriate brachas. And if that's the case, if she was saying brachas that she shouldn't have been saying, then she was over Nisr Doraisa, and then we're back to the Kasha. What do you need this pasuk for? That from here you see that you have to give your friend rebuke when they're doing something wrong. You have ochech tochichas amisecha. According to the Rambam, she was drunk, and therefore her brachas shein atzrichas were an isser doraisa. So that's really so we're back to Tosa hadra kusha leduchte. We have Tosa's kash again. Tosa says no, here it's not an isser doraisa because isser doraisa you have ochech tochich. Here it's just a davar shein ohagun. But if the Darvish Shein Ohagan is that she was davening drunk, then that's according to the Rambam and Isser Doraisa. So I saw in the Achron that I mentioned, he has a whole pilpul, and he says that the Zimstein being mom is drunk, shikor, and being shatui, being a little inebriated. So if your mom is drunk, if you're plastered, so that's that. Then the bracha is ainat sricha, it's Doraisa. But maybe here she was only a little bit, she was tipsy, but she wasn't mom is drunk, so it wasn't a bracha shein atzricha. So it wasn't an Isser Doraisa. However, he has a long pilpul about this. However, when I saw what Rav Kook says in the Einaya, Oru Einai, my eyes mamash lit up. Rav Kook reads the pasuk simply. Eli said to her, Eli sister, Ad Mosai Tishtakarin. For how long will you be drunk? He doesn't say, why are you davening drunk? He says, what are you drunk for? Meaning, there's no isser for to be drunk. It's eino roi. It's not appropriate for a woman to get plastered. That definitely. It's a mita tova that a woman shouldn't get drunk. It's a mita tova nobody should get drunk. But particularly women. Because that can often lead to sin and other things. Because, as long as the men are drunk and the women are in control, we don't have anything to worry about. But if the women are drunk, the men, I don't want to say this, but a lot of times the men aren't even in control when they're not drunk. So we need to keep the women sober. That's definitely what we need. We need to keep the women sober. So the Eli was giving her tochacha, says Rav Kook in the Einaya, what are you drunk for? And that's what the Gemara says, Dover Sheino Hagun. Shteit nishten Gemara Isser. Mikan laroa dvar Isser bechaveiro. And not even an Isser derabana. Lachora here she wasn't even over any Isser derabanan. It was just she was doing something that's inappropriate. It's pasnish. But it wasn't an Isser. And if you really love the person, even if you see a davar she'eino hagun, you still try to correct the person. And that's what Eli did. Eli saw that she was not, she was drunk. What are you davening drunk for? In Echinami, davening drunk, you can have the whole pilpul. Maybe it was an Isser Doraisa. Even if an Isser Derabbanan, it's not just a Dover Sheino Hagun. That doesn't stem so well with the Lashon of the Gemara. It doesn't say in the Gemara an Isser Derabbanan. It says Dover Sheino Hagun. It's not even an Isser. So if she was davening drunk, that is an Isser. You're not allowed to daven drunk. But that wasn't the Tochacha. The Tochacha was, why are you drunk with Chla? And that's because that's a Mida Lo Tov. Be drunk. This bechlav is another interesting kasha that the Acharonim ask. That the Rambam says in Nuchas Bias Mikdash that you're not allowed to be in the Azara when you're drunk. So what was she doing in the Azara drunk? He should have given her Musar for that. And what was she doing there? Excuse me, he's not. Now what was she doing there? In the end, she wasn't drunk. But what, why wasn't he giving her musr? Again, this is all mibchinat Eli. Eli thought that she was drunk. So the musr, she wasn't, but the musr he was giving her is, you're drunk. Not you're davening drunk, you're drunk. But the musr should have been, heck, what are you doing in the Azara drunk? That's another question. Rambam Paskins, you're not allowed to do that. We could also have asked, why are you davening drunk? And that in the end we said that it wasn't his tochacha. So maybe she can learn a kal v'chomer. If she shouldn't be drunk at all, she certainly shouldn't be davening drunk and be in the Azara when she's drunk. That she can know on her own. But he's saying kal v'chomer. If you shouldn't even do davar she'eino hagin, your mom is, you certainly shouldn't do an iser. So to this, I saw in the Rinas Yitzchak, he gives a teretz, that the reason he didn't give her tochacha, that she was drunk in the Azara, is because we learned earlier that Ein Yeshiva Bazara El Malchei Beis David, we learned from the Tosfos written Yuma, that that's only in the open air of the Azara. But if you're in one of the side rooms, in one of the lishkos, in one of the chambers, side chambers, then you're allowed to sit, and it could also be there, you're allowed to be drunk as well. So, if that's the case, then maybe it would have been, it's mutter for her to be there and drunk. So that's why he didn't give her musr about being in the Azara drunk, because maybe it was in one of the side rooms. But on Kopanim, we see from here that when you see even a Darvish Shein Hagen, if you really love somebody, you want them to have shlemus. So if you see a person who's in Achveis, the person is dresses like a shlump. So there's no isser to dress like a shlump. But you say to the person, you know, if you want to feel good about yourself, you know, you'll iron your shirt and you'll tuck your shirt in, and you'll dress in a mechubadik way, you'll feel better about yourself. That's what they taught in Slobodka. You see somebody who's isn't from Elav HaMalka, just has a quick hamotzi and benches. You say, you know, it's really much nicer if you have a mechubadik asuda from Elav HaMalka. You sit, you sing a few zmiras, you tell sipurei tzadikim. Whatever you see somebody doing in any way that a person can improve his or herself, and you tell them, it's gevaldik. My mother, Shlita, or Tlita, they say, even though it could be Shlita, she tichya liyam and tovim arukim. She once put up, she cut out from the Jewish press many years ago, they have these like little sayings of the rabbis. So for a saying from Ibn Gabirol, that better a person who gives me rebuke every time he sees me than a person who gives me a gold coin. So I always thought I'd like to have both. A person every time he sees me gives me rebuke, and a few other people every time they see me, they give me a gold coin. So this way I'll be rich and I'll improve my character. But if you can help improve somebody's character, that's what you should do. So Eli Satra and Masai Tishtakar, he even says they knew each other. But he saw, you'll be a much better person if you don't get drunk. He already preceded Rabbi Abraham Twersky in trying to help people with... Again, in the end, he was wrong. She wasn't drunk, but he thought she was. So that is the all-important lesson we learn. Even a davar she'eino hagun, not mamish and issa. Even if you really love somebody, even a davar she'eino hagun, you know, parent says to a kid, use silverware. He's like a mensch. So that's definitely very, very important to teach your children. So anyway, sweetest friends, I just want to, before we conclude, share with you a maisa, and then we will, Bezrat Hashem, continue next time. It says, I read this in a parsha sheet, which is given out in shul. Called, I forget the parsha sheet, but it's the Chabad parsha sheet. So this is a story told about, this was told by a tour guide. I actually tried to contact the tour guide, but I couldn't get in touch with him. I wanted to verify the story, but I'll give the parsha sheet a chazaka that they're telling a true story. That was told by this tour guide. His name is Ira Rappaport, from Shiloh. So this Ira Rappaport tells that one time he used to like to daven in Erev Rosh Hashanah. He used to like to daven in Har HaZeisim. And one year, it was getting closer and closer, because that's what we read. And Rosh Hashanah, we read the Parsha of Chana. So one Rosh Hashanah, it was getting close, it was getting late, and he didn't have time. So he decided he has to just rush home. But then when he passed by, he saw a couple, two boys and a girl, and they were reading the Parsha of Chana with the most beautiful niggun. The most beautiful niggun. So he couldn't help himself. He stopped his car. He got out. He waited for them to finish. And he said, you know, you're reading this so beautifully. Like, what's this all about? I've never seen this before. Reading the Parsha of Chana by this kever. So you'll forgive me, sweetest friends, that I don't remember which kever it was. But they were reading the Parsha. And it was just, it struck him, the parents and the three children. So the man looks at his wife hesitatingly. And the wife nods her head. And she says, all right, you can tell. So the husband said, this happened many years ago. My wife and I didn't have children for many, many years. And we were very, very distraught. And we tried everything, and doctors, and brachas, and skulas, and treatments, and nothing was helping. And one day, I was just walking around Mea Sharim, and I was distraught, and I didn't know what to do with myself, and it had been so many years, and it was Erev Rosh Hashanah, and I had nothing to rush home for, because no children. And all of a sudden, I passed by this one of these alleyways in Mea Sharim, and there was this light coming out of the room. And I was just drawn to it. And I couldn't help myself. I started looking through the window. And I saw this holy man sitting in front of Svarim Learning. And I went in. He motioned that I should come in. I went in. And I didn't have to say a word. And he said, if I remember the story correctly, he said his name. And he said, I want you to go right now to Har HaZeisim, and I want you to daven at this and this kever, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you children. What's the tefillah I want you to say at the kever? I want you to say Shir Eschana. I want you to go home right now, get your wife, go to the kever, say Shir Eschana at the kever, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you children. And the person said, you know, I've had hopes before that were dashed, but this time I knew that it was true. The only thing was that what was interesting was that this man was blind. This holy rabbi was blind, and he knew Mamish Shas Baal Peh, Tanakh, most of Tanakh Baal Peh. And he was asked, I think it was Mr. Rappaport who asked him, how do you see? Saying, you see, you saw me, even though you're blind. And the man answered, there's some things that I can't explain. Anyway, this person related to Mr. Rappaport that he ran home, he got his wife, they said Shir Eschana, and they were blessed with three children. One child they called Chana, one Shmuel, and one Elkanah. And that, sweetest friends, may Hashem she'otihil. That was what they got as a special gift from Hashem. And this Mr. Rappaport relates that he said to the person, where was it? He goes, no, it was just one of these alleyways in Mea Sharim. He said, no, but I'm a tour guide, I know Mea Sharim. And he told him exactly the name of the street, right off Rehov Rappaport. And he said, I want to tell you something, that Rehov Rappaport is named after one of my ancestors. And that I know exactly the Rav you're talking about. His name was Rav Moshe Leib Shapiro. And that when I was a young man in the 1960s, I came to Eretz Yisrael, and I knew that I had, my family originally had been Israeli, and my father went to America, to Chicago, probably to earn a living. And I went with my uncle one day to visit this great Rav. And I walked in, and the Rav immediately knew my name, and the name of my father, and the name of my grandfather. And he said, if you go down a few kvarim, you'll see the graves of my ancestors, of my grandfather, my great uncle, whoever it was. And he said, when I went into the room, that was when he asked him, he said, how do you see? There's some things that I can't tell you. And he gave him a bracha that he should build Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, that's what he did. He built up Shiloh and other settlements in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a small world after all. They both knew this great holy Rav. And ever since then, they have a custom every year And again, it could be, it's chaval that I don't have the story anymore with me. I have to relocate it. But I think the Rav said that every year they had to go to the kever and to say Shira Schan and to say that tefillah. And that's what they do with their three children. And it just shows you the koach of Amuna and the koach of Shira Schan that we're going to get to. And the koach of a tzaddik, the blind tzaddik who can see. And the koach of a bracha. And Baruch Hashem. There are three people walking around today in Eretz Yisrael. Elkanah, Chana, and Shmuel, who came as a result of this. And this is the story that Mr. Rappaport tells. And we should all be Zelchem, Eretz Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to the tefillah of Chana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should also listen to our tefillahs and answer our tefillahs. Be'avo, v'ratzon, v'rachamim. Amen, Kenyi, v'ratzon. Shalom, shalom, sweetest friends.